Hi, everyone. This is Mackenzie Bean, Managing Editor with Becker's Hospital Review. Thank you for tuning in to the Becker's Healthcare Podcast Series. Today, I'm pleased to be joined by Dr. Gerard Kreiner of Temple Health to discuss how the system is maintaining safe and effective lung cancer care during the pandemic. Dr. Kreiner, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thanks for inviting me, Mackenzie.
Of course. Before we dive into today's discussion, do you mind introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about your organization?
Sure. I'm the professor and founding chair of the Department of Thoracic Medicine and Surgery at the Lewis Katz School of Medicine at Temple University. Our academic hospital is Temple University Hospital and is part of the Temple Health System overall. It's a consortium of three entities. It's the main campus at Temple University Hospital, as well as its affiliates, Jeans Hospital and Fox Chase Cancer Center. And we have over 550 physicians that are within Temple Health. And in our department, which is a combined department of thoracic medicine and surgery, we have approximately about 150 clinicians that include pulmonary and critical care faculty, which numbers 40, 6 thoracic surgeons, and about 35 nurse practitioners and 32 fellows in training for pulmonary critical care and sleep medicine. So it's overall devoted towards taking care of patients with thoracic disorders, both medical and surgical. We have about 150 clinicians on a daily basis.
Great. Thanks for giving us that overview. Before we talk more about, as you mentioned, the program and what Temple Health is doing in terms of lung cancer care, I think we should first talk about COVID-19 response. So I'm curious, what is the current situation with COVID-19 at Temple Health, and what has been your role in managing the hospital's pandemic response effort?
Well, it's a lot better right now in terms of our census of inpatients. We have today about 25 inpatients overall. 6 of them are in the intensive care unit. Since COVID really came full-fledged into Philadelphia, we've taken care of over 17,000 patients with suspected COVID or proven COVID disease overall. And at the height of the pandemic for us at our institution, we had approximately 225 patients on a daily basis that were inpatients across our hospitals, of which about 190 of them were at our main hospital. So it was quite a challenge overall that we had to deal with. A separate issue is that a large percentage of our patients are patients of higher risk because of their demographic backgrounds. We have about 92% of our patients who had COVID disease because of the community that we serve were either African American or Hispanic patient populations, notoriously who have been affected disproportionately poorly by the COVID infection, increasing morbidity and mortality overall. So that was a couple things that we had to deal that were a little bit different at Temple in terms of a large population and a sick population overall. We started planning for this in the mid-February, and I'm a pulmonary and critical care physician by training, and as I think everyone knows, COVID-19 is a disease that really affects the lung and causes a critical illness, not only of the lung, but systemically. So for that standpoint, our group took more of a leadership role in trying to devise a plan of care, working with others. And we created a multidisciplinary program with our infectious disease, our hematologists, our hospitalist group overall, who provided the non-intensivist care, as well as our rheumatology division overall. Because some of the drugs that we use and the approaches were similar to what we use in select patients who have symptoms of a high inflammatory state that we see in the intensive care unit. I'm privileged to be on the GOLD Board of Directors and the GOLD Science Committee, which is a nonprofit geared towards people treating patients with COPD, and I do a lot of interventional work, not only for cancer diagnosis and treatment, but also for emphysema treatment that I've done for the last 20, 25 years. And I have a lot of colleagues in Southeast Asia, especially China, Singapore, and Korea, who were very instrumental to tell us what they were facing early on and what worked for them. In fact, several close friends of mine were working in the Wuhan unit in early January, and really had started to formulate an approach to these patients with a separate hospital, a fever clinic, a separate emergency room, ICU step-down unit beds, separate teams, use of remote care options to treat patients overall, to network with the people that were on site to spare some of the work, and also the value of chest imaging on admission, because the swabs are only 60% sensitive to diagnose the disease, and a turnaround is slow. Patients can present quickly and quickly get worse, and you want to really stay on top of that to triage them, put them in appropriate location, and start care. So based on that, we created a multidisciplinary plan using our specialists in Temple across those disciplines that I said, and we created a separate building for COVID care at Temple. And we started that in the end of February, beginning of March, and that exists to this day, although we don't have to use the entire hospital right now. Since the census is lower, we use separate floors of that institution or that building to be able to provide that care. At our peak, we had 32 teams taking care of patients around the clock. Now we have approximately four teams that we have in-house to take care of patients that are networked with us on a remote basis each day. And that served us well. I think we were very apprehensive about what the outcomes of our patients would be, because they are higher risk. And I think at the time we were starting the plan, and Philadelphia really became involved right after New York and Northern New Jersey, there are the reports out of Italy, especially Lombardy, that the mortality was close to 80%, especially if patients had problems such as hypertension or diabetes and had prior lung or heart diseases, which our patient population has about 30 to 70% of the time, some of these comorbid conditions. And we're happy to say our mortality for COVID positive patients is less than 5.3%. And a lot of that is based on the process that we developed, but also some of the care plan that our Chinese colleagues told us that were part of their care plan, use of systemic steroids, which were advised against in both some of the medical respiratory societies as well as the WHO and the CDC, but they found good results with that, and they provided us some of our data. So we started patients on systemic steroids from the beginning of our episodes at Temple, and then we used non-invasive forms of oxygenation and ventilator support, high-flow nasal therapy using non-invasive ventilation, such that the number of patients that we intubated at Temple was only about 12 to 14%. So those care features that we did, plus having protocolized therapy for use of some of the rheumatologic drugs, and then embedding our clinical trials program into our COVID care. We overall enrolled more than 52% of our patient population that was eligible for a clinical trial into one of our 25 COVID trials for COVID-19, for which we had our research team working with us around the clock 7 days a week. And some of that has resulted in some of the emergency approved FDA therapies, such as remdesivir. Use of steroids, as you know, is strongly endorsed by the same societies that strongly discouraged their use 6 months ago. That's a somewhat approved therapy. And then some of the other therapies that have just received positive, I guess, top-line results, we were involved in those studies too. So this is a real team, multidisciplinary effort from the beginning.
Yeah, and I think one thing that has emerged from the pandemic is just such an immense level of collaboration between not just researchers and clinicians or leaders in the U.S., but really globally, as you said, which I think is so important to see. I'd love to hear specifically more about how the pandemic has affected Temple Health's strategy around its lung cancer program.
Yeah, so I told you the rationale that we had for a separate hospital based on the experience of the colleagues in China and other parts of the world. But another reason why we did that is Temple has has the largest lung transplant program in the country for the last 5-6 years overall. And we knew that we had to keep our patient populations separate because we didn't want to commingle people with a highly contagious disease with patients that are at risk because they're immune suppressed also, and know that we have to take care of the patients with advanced lung disease who require transplant and patients that have had transplant overall. So patients with lung cancer fit into that purview also, that patients with lung cancer are people that need diagnosis and treatments, both surgical treatment as well as medical treatment with oncologic drugs, as well as, you know, radiation treatments overall. So that was the separate impetus for us to keep things separate so that we could treat patient populations simultaneously overall. So our commitment and our strategy around the time of COVID for lung cancer care was to provide that care for patients that needed it. Don't delay that care, whether it was surgery or medical or radiological treatments overall, and to be able to evaluate and diagnose patients regardless. So bronchoscopies were done, surgeries were done, cancer treatments were done simultaneously during COVID in a separate, controlled, and safe way.
Perfect. And I think another thing that has emerged from the pandemic, perhaps as a consequence, is patient hesitancy to return to the hospital. What would be some potential impacts if patients delay receiving lung cancer care?
Well, I think it's pretty well established that the earlier stage that one presents with lung cancer, which should be said is the number one cancer cause of death in both men and women in the United States and throughout most of the world overall, is to diagnose it and treat it at an earlier stage where the treatment outcomes are much more substantial in terms of cure as well as prolongation of survival. So delaying the diagnosis and therefore the treatment of lung cancer is really something that's ill-advised. And you know, screenings for lung cancer also were somewhat on pause because of patients not having equal access who didn't have active disease. But to try to rectify that situation, we've embarked on a much more robust, energized lung cancer screening program and are working to highlight the need for lung cancer screening. I think it's also commonly known that our abilities to screen patients for lung cancer is inadequate nationally right now. About some of the projections for American Lung Association is that only 6% of patients that are eligible for lung cancer screening receive lung cancer screening. And, you know, that's even lower for patients that are minority, such as the community that we serve, as well as for males. So we've simultaneously embarked on a much more robust lung cancer screening program, not only to facilitate access, but community engagement and awareness of the benefits of lung cancer screening, and also to primary care physicians throughout our network.
So as you just outlined, there are obviously, you know, very severe, real harms to delaying this care or delaying these screenings. So I'm curious, how are you and other leaders at Temple Health trying to address that patient hesitancy to make sure they do safely return for care?
Well, we, you know, as far as the safety guidelines and outlines that we've done for our institution, we make the patients well aware of that, how we've isolated things, with how everyone is asked questions about their illness and their temperature before they come on campus. We also screen patients at the door as well as all the employees, but from the beginning of the pandemic, we created an app that all our employees on a daily basis must register their symptoms and vital signs. They're queried about COVID disease. Those are transmitted and looked at each day. That's then monitored by our occupational health department. And then if patients have no symptoms and they have a normal temperature on the app, they proceed to work, and then they have a second physical check at the door overall. We also have patients that are on this application for COVID care. So if patients really have symptoms or they're concerned about them or their family, they can basically be queried about that and know if they're okay or not. So we make sure that the patients and their family are aware of that. In some patients' case that still have some reluctance, we can do a televisit with them first and outline the things I just outlined to them, review their health condition overall, and basically on an individual basis, highlight the patient's need to be seen on site or whether they can get the test that they can closer in their community. And then we will review the sites for them by televisit if it's a problem for them traveling in or they're reluctant at that time. But say overall, the patients that are reluctant to come in and be on site is dissipating over the last several weeks, and probably it's less than 10% of the patient population overall. The majority of our patients are coming back and be seen on site, especially the people that need to, in greater than 90% of the time.
Well, good. That's great to hear. And I know you focus specifically on, you know, making advancements in the state of lung cancer. I'm curious, can you share any new investments or tools that Temple Health has made to help accomplish that?
Yes, Temple Health has made significant investments, not only to support our department, which is, as I said in the beginning, is a combined department of thoracic medicine and surgery, but it's made substantial investment into ancillary staff, to space, and equipment. They've made substantial investments in the past to a robotic platform with Intuitive for our thoracic surgeons and many of our other surgeons in oncologic fields such as gynecologic surgery as well as urologic surgery. But specifically for thoracic surgery, our surgeons have been doing robotic assisted thoracoscopic surgery for biopsy. They've done robotic lobectomies and other forms of resections like lung volume reduction surgery for at least the last 8 years on a regular basis overall to improve the safety and the patient recovery from the surgery and do it effectively. So that investment with hybrid operating rooms have been made. For us in pulmonary, they have just embarked on a 3-room hybrid bronchoscopy suite for us to care for our patients, which is outfitted with the cone beam CT unit and augmented fluoroscopy that's state of the art. And they've also provided for us ion intuitive robotic bronchoscopy to use for our planning stages and diagnostic approaches bronchoscopically, with our goal to create one of the few total robotic centers, both from a bronchoscopy standpoint as well as a surgical standpoint, and then be able to provide as least invasive care as we can to not only diagnose the cancer, but eventually working with others from research aspects, be able to treat cancer in selected patients endobronchially with a variety of ablative techniques, which hopefully future research will show will be effective in individuals. So we have this complementary approach. We also work with interventional radiology, not only to diagnose, but to treat specific patients, again, with the same measures that I said, with in certain cases where it lends itself to a interventional radiology approach overall. So we work with the groups seamlessly with that. We also are working to develop our lung cancer screening program, as I said, to make several different avenues for treatment viable, to improve the access with using a variety of program navigators that enter the patients into the program, perform the low-dose CT scan, and then be able to help track the patients, along with a unified software application that can use radiomics for nodule detection and patient tracked throughout the program overall to be used with platforms that can be used with multidisciplinary lung cancer, multidisciplinary discussion programs, so we can talk about various aspects of diagnosis as well as treatment for patients with our groups overall. And we've worked with them towards getting a new SBRT machines as well as a new PET scanner on facility at our site. So Temple Health has made substantial investments overall across the board to improve our diagnosis and treatment of lung cancer. The new the Cancer Hospital Fox Chase Cancer Center is being re-energized and reinvigorated as part of the Temple Health System. And that provides us a strong component of research as well as oncologic medical care for patients with lung cancer with a variety of medical oncology protocol-driven therapy that can be performed for patients across the system, as well as novel research that's being conducted from a medical standpoint there. So Temple's made a lot of investments across the board.
Absolutely. And I know you mentioned one of those investments being the ION platform. Are you able to speak to your clinical experience using that and any early outcomes you might be able to share?
Yes, I could. My experience with it has really started right before the pandemic. It was the second week of January was the first cases that I did. And we were doing about 12 a month through February. And then it was really put on the hold a little bit for COVID care, and then we resumed in the end of May. And I've done about 40 cases to date overall. And, you know, the learning profile that was very easy, and the maneuverability of the ION platform overall. The planning software is very easy to use. I found it very friendly to be able to use it overall in terms of its ability to like outline the lesion and provide the appropriate guidance.
Shape sensing technology
to really maneuver through the lung is actually very fast to use, as well as the controlling module overall to be able to direct and articulate and maintain that shape in the area that needs to be done in some difficult areas in apical segments or lower lobe segments where it's more peripheral in shape. And a lot of our patients have advanced lung disease overall. So some of these patients, we try to minimize our time during the case, and we've been able to integrate the ION robotic platforms easily with using cone beam CT augmented fluoroscopy and radial e-bus. So we can use several different technologies simultaneously to more accurately biopsy peripheral lesions that may in some cases be even pleural base or close to the pleura, way out in the outer third of the lung, that are 10 to 12 millimeters, sometimes 8 millimeters in diameter, that we've been able to safely and effectively biopsy in over 85 to close to 90% of our patient population. So that's been a good investment for us. It's been in somewhat a transformative diagnostic option for us to be able to diagnose lesions that we otherwise weren't so facile in diagnosing. And we believe it gives us the tools that we'd be able to do ablative research efforts in a much more viable option with good outcomes we would expect.
Wonderful. Well, Dr. Kreiner, thank you so much for joining us today, sharing your time and some of your insights from Temple Health. We really appreciate it. And we'd also like to thank our podcast sponsor, Intuitive Surgical. You can tune in to more podcasts from Becker's Healthcare by visiting our podcast page at beckershospitalreview.com.